Concordia Research and Education Workers Union, or CREW, is back at the bargaining table this year with the university. One of their demands is a wage increase for TAs and RAs to $45 hourly. At 1 o'clock on Thursday, November 7th, a group of about 50 union members rallied outside of the Guy Metro building, which houses Concordia administration offices. CJLO attended the rally and spoke with a member of CREW's bargaining committee, Jason Langford.
I mean, this is a rally for a huge pay increase. Along with that is also a cost of living adjustment clause, so that when things like inflation get so much higher than what our pay increases were, then our wage would just keep in line with it.
Teaching assistants at Concordia currently make $29 an hour. Langford and the union representing him says this isn't enough to keep up with the steep cost of living. The union argues that $45 an hour is fair, comparing what TA wages are like at other universities. At UFT, wages are at $51.93 an hour. At U Ottawa, $49.02 an hour. And here at Montreal's own McGill University, $36.26 an hour. With collective bargaining opened back up this year, a higher wage is a high priority. This year, the bargaining process is using an open bargaining method, meaning any union member is allowed to attend the meetings provided they are respectful.
This has been a really cool thing, because when we take breaks to caucus to talk about different things that just happened at the table, we can get immediate feedback from people. Our members who might catch something that we might miss, or they might be part of a department and have some unique insight on an issue. So we found it really valuable bargaining that way too.
Langford himself is a TA in the geography department. He says he has two other jobs just so he can keep up with his bills.
Yeah, this is my third job, and I am very much not alone. Almost everybody, at least who I've talked to, has at least one other job in addition to TAing or being an RA. Sometimes they'll take on two to three different RA-TA contracts in some combination, or they'll be working as a TA or RA, and then on the weekends they'll be working at a restaurant or a cafe or bar or nights. So it's a situation where we don't have a lot of time to actually work on our theses and on our research and spend the time that we would like to actually on our studies. It's no surprise that most master's students that I know don't graduate in 2 years. It's not because we don't try hard, it's because we're working too much.
Concordia University would not put up someone for media. They stated to CJLO that to respect the bargaining process, they don't discuss ongoing negotiations that are taking place at the table. They said, quote, "We continue to negotiate with CREW in good faith and look forward to reaching an agreement," unquote. For CJLO News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Chasing the moonlight, my cinnamon girl. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here on the Tommy John Show on CGLO 1690 AM. And happy Remembrance Day to everyone. Hope everyone is doing well on a November the 11th. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. We had a hectic week in the National Football League we will get to. We are almost at American Thanksgiving. What that means, the real testing point in the NHL, the recorder of the year, who is in a good spot, who is not. We will get into that. Unbelievable action in college football, and not to mention the NBA is entering its second month of play. So we're going to get into all of it here on the Tommy John Show. And if you're a first-time listener, remember to follow us on Instagram at the Tommy John Show, TikTok, Twitter, you name it, the Tommy John Show is on it. Give us a follow and let us know what you want us to talk about here on the Tommy John Show. So, like I said, what a week we had. And we're going to get into it with the National Football League, like we always start off with. And what a week it was. Week 10 started off on an electric note with that Baltimore-Cincinnati game, and it did not disappoint. What a performance from both quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, yes, 428 yards, four touchdowns. Lamar Jackson had 290 yards and four touchdowns. He was stellar. But the big story was Ja'Marr Chase. 11 catches, 364 yards, three touchdowns. He was superb, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. The Baltimore Ravens, who were down and out in that third quarter, fumble from Chase Brown changed the entire game. Baltimore stormed back, scoring on their last four possessions to win a thriller, 35-34. Cincinnati went for the win. They scored late to be down one. They could have kicked the extra point, try and play overtime. They went for the win, and man, what a gamble. I understand. We'll get into two-point conversions. It's happening a lot lately now at the end of games. Tampa Bay, New England last week, now Cincinnati this week. I don't know, man. It was a gutsy call, and you like to think Joe Burrow can get you, what, a touchdown from the two-yard line, but didn't pay off. And now Cincinnati is in a deep hole at 4-6. The Ravens improve to 7-3, as I think Baltimore has the Steelers next weekend. So that will be a huge matchup in the AFC North. In a game in Munich, Germany, that not many people paid attention to, it was the Carolina Panthers taking down the New York Giants 20-17. That's the amount of, that's all I will give to that football game. It was a terrible football game. But Carolina, the first time in the Bryce Young era, they've won two in a row, and now the Giants fall to 2-8, and right now would have the number one draft pick in the 2025 NFL draft. So at least there's some positives for the New York Giants. The New England Patriots, 19-3 over the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams sacked nine times yesterday for Chicago, and there's already Bears fans coming out saying they want Eberflus gone. They want Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, gone. They want everyone gone. They were, what, a Hail Mary away from being 5-2. If Jane Daniels doesn't complete the Hail Mary, they're 5-2. They lose that game, lose last week to Arizona, and now they lose to the Drake May Patriots 19-3. And the number three overall pick looked pretty darn good. He had that ugly pick early on, but he came back, settled in, was 15-25, a 190, touchdown following that, so good result for the Patriots. They needed a win like that. They improved to 3-7. The 49ers, in dramatic fashion, take out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-20. They also had three missed kicks in the game. Man, what a performance from Brock Purdy. 353 yards, two touchdowns, super efficient, 25-36. Baker Mayfield did what he could with a limited receiving core, but they got a big performance out of Bucky Irving. He had 13 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Wasn't enough, though. Christian McCaffrey, 39 yards on 13 carries, but he did have 6-68 in the pass game. So a decent comeback game for Christian McCaffrey. His first game since the Super Bowl last year. And the Niners win and salvage their season. They're 5-4 right now. They have Seattle coming up, Green Bay coming up, Buffalo, Chicago. Big games coming up for the 49ers if they want to make a run at the NFC West title. The Buffalo Bills, 30-20 over the Indianapolis Colts. Joe Flacco, not his best day. Three picks in the loss. Josh Allen threw two picks as well, but didn't matter. The Bills with a big win on the road in Indianapolis. And will host the 9-0 Kansas City Chiefs, who miraculously got out of that game. I don't know what the hell is going on in Kansas City. They were down and out. Bo Nix leading the Broncos on a drive, bleeding the clock down. 1 second left. 36-yarder to win the game, and it's blocked. And it's blocked. And the Chiefs win 16-14, are now 9-0. And like I mentioned, at Buffalo next week, but then you look, they got Carolina, the Raiders, the Browns on that schedule. So they're pretty much a shoo-in. If they beat Buffalo, they're pretty much a shoo-in for that number one seed. Don't put out Pittsburgh. They're 7-2, who had an unbelievable victory yesterday. But you'd like to think the Chiefs are in a good spot right now. 9-0, cruising to the AFC West title. But the real question is one of those games going to go the wrong way for them? Will they get a bad break? Like every close game, every game they're in is a close game, and they get a good break every single time. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy. But 16-14, they take down the Denver Broncos. This Pittsburgh Steelers, 28-27 over the Washington Commanders. A big game from George Pickens, who had a miraculous touchdown catch early on. It was getting tight there for a while, and then the new Steeler, Mike Williams, with a huge catch at the end of the game for 32 yards and a touchdown. Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns, and the Steelers are 7-2. Looked like Washington was going to get the ball back after that weird spot thing with Zach Ertz. 4th and 1, the Steelers trying to hard count him, and the Washington jumped, and that was the ball game. That was really the difference in the game. Crazy. 28-27, the Steelers improved to 7-2, and they host the Baltimore Ravens for first place on the North on the line. Man, the Steelers can just never count them out. It's truly staggering. It's unbelievable. Every year, they win games. Unbelievable. The Minnesota Vikings in an ugly, ugly football game win at 12-7. Sam Darnold had 3 picks. It did not matter. They moved the ball. Just once they got into the red zone, they couldn't do anything with it. They kick only field goals, and that was enough. 12-7, the Vikings improved to 7-2 with a big win over Jacksonville. The Saints in the surprise of the week, 20-17 over the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons will be kicking themselves. They had 3 missed field goals by Younghoe Koo. I know one was blocked, but still 3 missed field goals, and that came back to bite the Falcons in the worst way. They were looking to go to 7-3. They fall to 6-4, but still, that's a bad loss, but it was a divisional game. They're in a good spot. Tampa Bay is next at 4-6 in the division. They got some wiggle room. They got some wiggle room, but they got to limit games like that. You got to beat the New Orleanses of the world. I know they're in the division, but you got to win those games. They're at Denver, then the Chargers, then Minnesota, so a tough stretch for the Falcons, but that closing stretch, a joke. The Raiders, Panthers, Giants. I mean, they should hit double-digit wins. They should. And that should be enough in the division. The Philadelphia Eagles, I don't even want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. 34-6. They dismantled Dallas. Cooper Rush was awful. And Trey Lance was even worse, if that's possible. It was just an absolute disaster. At least Micah Parsons came back. And that's one positive. But it's not looking good. Dak's out for the year. Focus on 2025. Focus on 2025. That's all I got to say about Dallas. We're moving on. The Chargers, 27-17. They improved to 6-3, and they have a huge Sunday night clash with the Bengals next week. If they were to win that one, they'd go to 7-3 and in control of their destiny, pretty much. They win out, or win what? They lose 2 games down the stretch, they should be in. 12-5 gets you in. The wild card, for sure. It's going to be tough to catch Kansas City, but you never know. 27-17, a big performance from the Chargers. They needed it. They needed to prove that they can contend. I know Tennessee's not a good team, but you play who you play. And if you keep scoring 27 points a game, they scored 27 last week, 26 the week before, the offense is moving, and they got a great defense. They really do. So if they can just continue plugging these wins along, they should be in a good spot. Love what Harbaugh's doing. They are running the ball, controlling the clock, and playing defense. Nothing wrong with that. The New York Jets, man, rock bottom. 31-6 against the Arizona Cardinals. They were dreadful. We're going to get into it. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about the Jets, but that was just a lifeless performance by them. Did not, that defense, that great defense. Oh, we have to worry about the Jets have an elite defense. They fire Salah and they have no defense. It's gone out the window. 31-6. Kyler Murray looked like Joe Montana. Looked like John Elway. It was ridiculous. They were moving the ball at will. unbelievable. I still can't believe they literally scored on every drive in the first half. I think they scored touchdowns. They went touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, or something like that. They it was four of their first five drives. They had a touchdown. The other one was a field goal. Like, what are we doing? This is the same defense now. It's about 25 against the Patriots, 37 against the Steelers, 31 against the Cardinals, and it could have been worse. They are just, man, they are so bad. The Jets are so bad. 31-6 Arizona, and credit to them. They're 6-4. I did not have them winning, leading the West at this point in the year, but they are, and they just got to keep winning ball games. They have a big clash coming up with Seattle in a few weeks. They got Minnesota. They still have to play San Francisco and the Rams again, so it's going to be an important stretch for Arizona, who can easily be a playoff team right now. 6-4, defense playing great. Kyler Murray playing at a high level. This McBride kid's come out of nowhere. Looks like Gronk. Like, what are we doing? Unbelievable. Good job for Arizona. I'm happy for them. And the Sunday night game, was that not crazy or what? 23-7 at the half it was for the Houston Texans. Jared Goff was playing so bad. He ends up throwing five picks in the game. And the Lions won. The Lions won 26-23. Unbelievable performance. Would this outscore them 19-0 in the second half? It was 23-7 at the half with Jared Goff looking so bad. And then you look, they score a touchdown in the third quarter, score another touchdown in the fourth quarter, two monster field goals late. That was the ball game. Just, they're so resilient, man. I got to give credit to Dan Campbell. They are a resilient team. They always play their tails off for him. They had no business winning that game yesterday. The Lions of old do not win that game yesterday. But these are the Dan Campbell 2024 Lions. And when it looked bad, and even they get the turnover in the start of the first half, Jared Goff throws another pick. You think, oh, well, we got the turnover, then Goff throws a pick. It's just one of those days. Nope. They kept fighting with it, got the ball back, scored a touchdown. They intercept Stroud again in the end zone. Goff throws another pick. They're like, oh, God, this is just, it won't end. Nope. They keep on playing. Get another touchdown drive, get two huge stops late. Their kicker makes a 58 and a 55-yard field goal, and they win the game. Unbelievable. So happy for the Lions fans. They deserve it. 26-23, and they are 8-1, ladies and gentlemen. 8-1. They got the Jags next week, then Indy, so they got two easier games, but then they got a tough stretch coming up. They have the Packers, the Bills, the 49ers, the Vikings to close the year with Chicago in there. But that's a tough stretch. But so you keep winning games like this, you get to 9, 10, 11, 12 wins, you're in a great spot. They're playing unbelievable football right now. And even when things were looking impossible, they mentally locked in, started chipping away, and came away with a victory. And that says a lot about that football team. It really does. 26-23, they win. We got one more game this week tonight, Miami and the Rams. That should be a good one. The Rams, people are like, ugh, the NFC, it's Detroit, it's Minnesota, it's Washington, Philly, and then there's everyone else. No. The Rams are still in contention. They're 4-4. They went tonight to go to 5-4 with New England next week, so they could easily get to 6-4 and be in a great position in the NFC West. They still have Arizona on that schedule, still have the 49ers on that schedule, Seattle again, I believe. So they got divisional games coming up too. So if they remain healthy and play like they've been playing, the Rams are absolutely in contention in the NFC West. So that's a big game for them tonight as they host Tua and the Dolphins. We'll quickly go to college football. We had a huge upset over the weekend. The Miami Hurricanes go down to Georgia Tech, 28-23. Cam Ward tried to miraculously save them again. It just couldn't happen this week. It feels like they've been playing with fire the entire year, Miami. The Virginia Tech game, they barely got away with the win. The Cal game, they were down, 19 in the fourth quarter, came back and won. Seems like every week, Duke last week they were down. Every week they were down and out and needed Cam Ward to save them. This week, just he couldn't do it again. He can't do it every single week. But man, what a win for Georgia Tech. Florida we'll see what the college football rankings have to say tomorrow, but they should fall out of the top 10. But the ACC is really interesting. You have SMU, you have Clemson, Miami, Louisville. They're all kind of logjam now. That was a big loss for Miami. If they got through that one, they were pretty much a shoo-in to make the ACC championship, but we shall see. The other big one was number 3, Georgia, getting dismantled by Ole Miss, 28-10. Ole Miss saving their season, and now you look at that SEC, it is an absolute dumpster fire. They're all clogged together. You have Tennessee leading the SEC because they're 8-1, 5-1 in the conference. You have A&M, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, all with a chance. Bama's 7-2, Ole Miss is 8-2, Georgia's 7-2. You have Texas at 8-1, A&M's at 7-2, Tennessee's at 8-1, and Tennessee's playing Georgia next weekend. What if Georgia win that game? Then you're going to have an 8-2 Georgia, 8-2 Tennessee, both 5-2 in the conference. If it ended now, Texas, A&M, Tennessee would be the SEC championship game, which is hilarious because I don't think anyone would have that. But it's such a disaster. All the good teams are beating each other. Craziness. Absolute craziness. Going to be interesting next few weeks in college football. Can't wait. Indiana, what a win they had over Michigan. They did not look good. Wasn't pretty, but they remain undefeated with a 20-15 win against the Michigan Wolverines. Colorado, what a story. 41-27. Big game from Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter had 9 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Shedeur Sanders, 291 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Buffaloes right now would play in the Big 12 title game against BYU. BYU, speaking of BYU, they miraculously came back. They were dead. They needed a field goal in the last drive. They get sacked on fourth down. The game's over. Utah about to storm the field. Uh-oh. Holding call. Keeps their season alive. They move down the field, kick a game-winning field goal as clock expires. That was the game. Absolutely crazy. Other big results, Alabama beat LSU 42-13. LSU is done. I got words about Brian Kelly later on in the show. NBA, we had unbelievable action over the weekend. The Milwaukee Bucks blowing a game to the Boston Celtics. They had no business winning. And Milwaukee, they are really in bad shape. 2-8. And Giannis is playing at an unreal level. He had 43 points last night. Didn't matter. They're 2-8. They're in Raptors territory. 2-8? The Cavaliers are 11-0. The Celtics are 9-2 in the Eastern Conference. They're the two best teams. You look out west, Golden State 8-2, Phoenix 8-2, the Thunder 8-2. The Lakers are 6-4. They had a big performance last night from LeBron James, a triple-double against the Raptors. They are cruising right now. In the National Hockey League, the Montreal Canadiens are playing right now in Buffalo. 1-1 at the end of the first period. The Canadiens right now, the worst team in the NHL. They've lost 6 in a row, 4-9-2. They have Buffalo now, then at Minnesota, and then their home Saturday against Columbus. But, yeah, not a good stretch of hockey by Montreal. Really not. Speaking of good hockey, though, we have to give a shout-out to the Winnipeg Jets. They have been sensational. Sensational. Setting records every week. They are 14-1. 14-1. And aren't just, like, winning closely contested games, which they can do. They can light the lamp on people. They scored 4 against Dallas. They had 3 against Utah. They had 7 against Tampa, 6 against Columbus, 6 against Detroit, 5 against Calgary. They are lighting the lamp. And it's a great story. No one was thinking the Jets would be this good. No one. We were like, oh, maybe they'll squeak into the playoffs. We'll see. They have Hellebuck should be playing well. Hellebuck's been incredible. He's the runaway Vezina winner right now. But, man, what a performance over the last few weeks by the Winnipeg Jets. Fantastic. Quickly go through the standings. Florida, Toronto, Boston, the top 3 in the Atlantic. New Jersey, Carolina, Washington, the top 3 in the Metropolitan. You head to the Western Conference, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Dallas, and the Central, the Pacific, LA, Vegas, Vancouver. We're going to get into our first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what the hell happened to the New York Jets, as well as if Brian Kelly is on the hot seat over at LSU. My name is Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. We're going to be back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Concordia, start your engines and get ready to end your semester in style. On November 30th, Canada's Drag Race star Kiara is taking over Reggie's and hosting an unforgettable night of drag. Also, all profits go to the Canadian Cancer Society. This event is presented by Queer Concordia and Concordia Relay for Life. For more details, follow their Instagrams at Queer Concordia and at Concordia Relay. Come for the glam, stay for the cause. Doors at 8:30 and show at 9.
Tune in to Fukubukuro on Saturdays at 8 p.m. for your weekly grab bag of music from Japan, East Asia, and everywhere else. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here on CJLO 1690. So, we could go in several different directions to start. We really could. We could talk about the Dallas Cowboys and how much of a dumpster fire it is. We could do that. We could talk about that crazy Chiefs game where they had no business blocking that kick. But credit to them. They're 9-0. We could get into that. We could get into the Detroit Lions and how they're so resilient. We will later in the show. But this first few minutes of this show will be entirely about the New York Jets. Entirely. Oh boy. Where do we go from here? Now, I wanted to talk about the Jets after that Patriots loss. Just totally ran on their parade saying, it's over. Cut your losses. It's done. And it was. For the first time in a while, Jet fans were done. I know a bunch of Jets fans, they're like, I'm done. We're 2-6. We just lost to the flipping Patriots. We're done. It's over. The Rodgers experiment, it hasn't worked. It's done. Then, in the most Jet way possible, they win a game in prime time where they shouldn't have won on paper. The second half, Rodgers looked like vintage Rodgers. They pull out a win against Houston. And Jets fans start doing the math. They're like, well, we're 3-6, but we beat Houston. And Devontae looked good, and Garrett Wilson looked good, and the running backs looked good. The defense held up in the second half. We might got something here, and our schedule's easy. If we can run the table or lose one, you know, we have a chance. Then yesterday happened. Oh, my. Oh my. That's all I have to say. Oh my. Oh my God. That was an absolute disaster. That was their worst performance of the year. By a fairly large margin. 31-6 against Arizona, and it could have been worse. And I had to hear all offseason of how good this New York Jets defense was. And it was good for the first few weeks of the year. Then they lose Salah. And then they realize maybe Salah's a good defensive. He's not a good head coach. But at least he had some good defensive schemes. Because since he's left, it has been an absolute joke defensively. A joke. Are you serious? 31-6? Not to mention, it's not just a regular 30-point game. It was lethal from Arizona. And it wasn't like they're doing anything spectacularly. It's the 8-yard outs that aren't contested. It's the seam passes. No one's there. McBride was open by like 35 yards on one play. There was no one within 25, 30 yards of him. It is that bad defensively for New York. They kick the ball away. They're like, no, Arizona can have the ball. They go down the field and score. You're down 7-0. Then the Jets have the two field goal drives, right? So it went 7-0, 7-3. Then, of course, Arizona scores again, 14-3, 14-6. And then once Arizona scored again, I'm like, oh, my God, they're scoring at will. They quit. And I kind of laughed. I can't believe I just said they quit, but they absolutely quit on TV. Once that third drive was so pathetic for the New York Jets. Like, so pathetic. And people are going to talk about who deserves all the blame and all the headlines. I don't know who deserves to be thrown out of the bus. It's going to be Jeff Ulbrich, and I don't even know if that's fair. He's the interim head coach. Let's not, like, he's a coordinator. He's not a head coach. And I understand why he took the job and said, yeah, I'll do it. Because if it went well, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have all this talent. If it starts to click, you might be able to keep the job. Or if not, at least get some interest from other teams. Because he had nothing to lose. He had absolutely nothing to lose taking this job. That's what I thought. Apparently not. He is the number one scapegoat today. And I don't know how in the hell he is the number one scapegoat today. It makes zero sense. Absolutely zero sense. The New York Jets have two people to blame. Woody Johnson and his brother. I keep forgetting his brother's name. Chris, I forget the other brother's name. It's on them. How many times are they going to do the wrong thing? They have never hired a good coach, never hired a good GM. They've never done anything good. Name a good choice by the New York Jets. What Eric Mangini was good for like an hour. What Rex Ryan for 2 years, he was good. When have they made the right decision in New York in ownership? Seriously, tell me. I'm serious. Like, what are we doing? And they fire Saleh, which I didn't hate at the time because Saleh's had so many games and what, 3-4 seasons of them being the same old Jets. I understand he was fed up. He has Aaron Rodgers. They have Garrett Wilson. They have all this talent. All right, we need to change something. They fire the coach. Okay, but they didn't go out and get a Mike Vrabel or get a Bill Belichick and throw the bag at them trying to save it. They just said, oh, we just fire Saleh and everything will fix itself. That's not it. You fire Saleh if you have a good replacement option, which they didn't. They had no clue. They're just like, oh, we'll fire Saleh, everything will be fine. No, now the one strength they had last year in the last few years is the defense. And that defense is so bad now. I can't even comprehend on how bad they are. First drive Arizona has, touchdown. Second drive Arizona has, touchdown. Third drive, touchdown. Then field goal, touchdown. Like, oh my God. Literally, that's what I thought of. Oh my God. They scored again. Oh my God, they scored again. It's like you turn to look at another game and you look back like, oh, Arizona's in the red zone again. You wouldn't even think it's possible. Before the game, I'm like, Arizona's playing well, but the Jets are desperate. That's what I thought. The Jets are desperate. This is it. They win this game. This is one of the few tough games they have left. I was looking at their schedule. I'm like, oh, they play at Buffalo. They get Miami twice, but Miami's not that good. I was saying to myself, oh my God, if they run the table, they're 11-6. Or if they drop one to Buffalo, you're 10-7 and you're fine. And while they aren't mathematically out, and while they are still technically in the playoff race, they are done. They are so done, it's crazy. Like, it's alarming how done the New York Jets are. Because now, I'm not just talking about this year, I'm talking about for years to come. Where do they go? We can talk about the young talent they have in Hall and Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. Yeah, that's a bright future. But what do they really have? They have a 40-year-old quarterback who was once an all-timer, not anymore. You have Davante Adams, who can opt out of his contract, which he probably will at the end of this year. He doesn't want any more of this dumpster fire. You have a defense that's declining. You don't have a head coach. And your offensive line stinks. And then what are you going to do? Well, you're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson. You're going to have to pay Hall. You're going to have to pay Sauce Gardner. You're going to have to do all these things. And when I say going to, like, this offseason, you're probably going to have to pay him. What do you do, New York? What do you do? Your window was last year, Rodgers tears his Achilles, and this year. That was the window. Maybe you can extend it 1 year if Rodgers plays 1 year and then you get the greatest O-line of all time. Maybe. But even then, I don't think so. It's similar to Dallas. I look at Dallas, I'm like, where are they going from here? I look at the Jets, where are they going from here? I thought rock bottom was that New England game. Oh boy, this is worse. I'm telling you, this is worse. And no, New England's not as good as Arizona. But this was worse. Trust me, this was worse. It was just they quit on the field. At least in the Patriots game, they had leads. They had chances. Here, they just, from the opening kick, they quit. And then, I don't understand. The other thing I don't understand is how no one's blaming Aaron. Maybe I'm missing something and I'm not reading the right articles or the right newspapers, but I'm clearly missing something, right? Clearly. What am I missing? Maybe it's because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time. He gets a bit of a pass. I don't know. But when I listen to Jets podcasts and New York radio, I never see anyone grill Aaron Rodgers. It's always someone else's fault. And yesterday, it's not entirely his fault, but they scored 6 damn points. They scored 6 points. So we can go at the defense, and today they deserve to be yelled at and looked at and criticized. Especially for how awful that game was from them, and it was truly awful. But Aaron needs to get some of the blame. I thought him and Davante Adams were going to have this connection like they never left, like it was Green Bay again. They are not on the same page at all. Garrett Wilson's the best receiver on the team for sure. They have 2 good running backs. I like Hall and I like the Allen kid, but that offensive line cannot protect Aaron. And the play calling is brutal. And one thing that made Aaron Rodgers so great in his prime was the ability to throw on the run, make plays, off-balance throws. That's what made Aaron Rodgers the Hall of Fame quarterback that he is. But at 40 years old, coming off an Achilles injury, he is not the same. He is not the same. Let's call it like it is. But the Jets still act like he's the same. He controls the franchise. A 2-4 team at the time when they traded for Davante Adams had no reason to trade for Davante Adams except that Aaron wanted him. Aaron wanted his buddy. They are in no position to trade for Davante Adams. They didn't even have to. And then they all blame, oh, it's Mike Williams' fault. It's Mike Williams' fault. Mike Williams caught the game-winning touchdown for the Steelers yesterday. So I'm not putting entirely on Mike Williams. I understand it's another tool to have in Aaron's offense. He loves him. Okay, fair enough. Get Davante Adams. But they could get Jerry Rice. They can get Barry Sanders. They could get, pick your poison, Randy Moss, Kellen Winslow Sr. at tight end. It doesn't, they can get anyone. If they have this version of Aaron Rodgers, they aren't winning. And the season's over. No more, oh, if we win this game, win that. No, no. The season is over. It's over. It's done. That performance offensively and defensively, said it all. I cannot believe how bad it has gotten in New York. I knew it would be bad. Once they lost that Buffalo game and they lost the Pittsburgh game on Sunday night, I'm like, this is bad. At least they're trying, but it's bad. They quit. And you got, me personally, you have to look at ownership and say, who the hell were you supposed, who the hell are you guys just firing the coach and not having a backup plan? That was dumb. You're just going to have the interim come up and everything's going to be great. That was stupid. That was really dumb. Because if you think about it, if your defensive coordinator is now the head coach, who's really paying attention to the defense? Sure, Jeff Ulbrich is a little bit, but the way it worked was so perfect defensively. Salah's a good defensive head coach. Ulbrich is a very good defensive coordinator, and you had your other guys. Yeah, the defense was good. And people can rip on Salah as a head coach, and I agree he was a bad head coach. But he still was a good defensive schemer, and they always had good defensive schemes when he was there. And then you take off the best defensive coach on your staff, and you're left with a brutal defense. And that's what the Jets' defense is right now. Brutal. Awful. Embarrassing. And it's, I understand people are going to look around the league and say, oh, this defense might be worse. This defense might be worse. They do not have the talent that the New York Jets have. Sauce Gardner, all-pro corner. DJ Reed's a Pro Bowl corner. They brought in Reddick. They have Williams. Are you kidding me? This defense is loaded with talent. Absolutely loaded all over the place. And they are getting worse by the week. Worse. It is scary in New York right now with the Jets. It's not nothing new. They've been through this hundreds of times before. But this is really scary. The New York Jets are in deep, deep trouble. Is Aaron going to come back? Who cares? Start over. There's no point. You're going to have Aaron come back, make $50 million to go 6-11 next year? Throwing it to Davante Adams? Okay. Just cut your losses. Say, Aaron, I appreciate what you've done in the National Football League. This is about the Jets owner. I appreciate what you've done. I respect your decision to come to New York and try and make us win, but we have to go in another direction. We have to start over. And I think Aaron, who's been contemplating retirement for the last few years, is like, yeah, okay. I'll step away. I'll make a podcast. Do something. Aaron Rodgers will be fine after football. He'll do his weird whatever he does off the field, and he'll be fine. But the Jets have to start over. Now, would a Deion Lechador go to the Jets? Would, I don't know. That's going to be a story for another day. Do you draft a Cam Ward? I don't know. But the Jets have to start over. And it might be a few years of pain, but Jets fans are used to that. They know more about pain than pretty much any other franchise. It is alarming and scary. And they got to do something about it. Bring in a Mike Vrabel. If you want, I don't know why Belichick would touch this job. He hates the Jets too. For me, it's a Mike Vrabel kind of a job. You still have some talent on the team and you want to bring out the best in them. Get a Mike Vrabel in there. He can turn this Jets team into an 8-9 win team for sure. For sure. That'd be my first job. Get Mike Vrabel in here. My second job would be, if Aaron comes back, we have to find a quarterback that can sit for a year and then put him out there when Aaron's done. So when Aaron leaves, we're hitting the ground running. That'd be the perfect scenario. You have a top five pick. You get a Cam Ward, a Shedeur Sanders, a Quinn Ewers, or pick your poison, who you want. Let him sit behind Aaron, and away you go. That's the only thing the Jets should be worth thinking of now, next year. Because this year's over. It is so done. And That was so embarrassing. The word is embarrassing. It was embarrassing. And the way they give Jets fans, the New England loss was rock bottom. Everyone's out. Then in the most Jet way ever, they give them hope. They beat Houston. Maybe. They get a bit excited again. And then they put that performance on the field yesterday. Oh, it's killer. It's an absolute killer. To me, Aaron Rodgers deserves some blame. Was it Joe Douglas, a GM? He definitely deserves some blame. But it's for me, it's at Woody Johnson's feet. He's been the owner for 20-something years. The fact he hasn't hired one great coach, if you want to say Rex Ryan, I don't think he's a great coach, but he's hired so many damn coaches. He's gone through GMs like there's no tomorrow. Eventually, you have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Maybe this is me. After a while, you have to come to that realization, Woody. You really do. Every damn offseason, it's disappointment. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010. I'm 23. The last time the Jets were in the postseason, I was in grade 3. I was 10 years old, 9 years old. That was 14 years ago. The Jets haven't been back since. They are such a loser franchise right now. It's crazy. And when they finally draft well, when they finally have a good team, they don't have the missing ingredient. And then you look around the league, Geno Smith was theirs. And I'm not saying Geno's an elite quarterback, but he's leading the league in passing. What they would do for Geno Smith now. Sam Darnold is on the 7-2 Vikings. Everyone, watch Zach Wilson go win a Super Bowl. That's where it's getting to right now. Every time, it's just, what's in that building and that culture? That as soon as people leave, they flourish. Absolutely crazy. And this team was ready to win going into 2022. Remember, they're building the pieces. They're building it. The Zach Wilson blunder, I'll never understand. I don't know what they saw in him. He made one nice throw at a BYU combine. And that killed them. If they kept Darnold with that roster, they would have been competitive. They would have. And to think, and I was a big Sam Darnold guy at USC, but they had the chance to pick Lamar, pick Josh Allen. They didn't do it. They picked Sam Darnold. And then, who's not a bad quarterback, but then they just picked Sam Darnold. And they're like, go play, Sam. Woody Johnson's like, go play. You'll save us. He's gone through GM and coach and GM and coach. Eventually, he's going to be like, damn, maybe I should get someone to make these decisions for me because I can't do it. This is alarming. Very, very alarming. And it was an embarrassing and an eye-opening game for the rest of the NFL, who truly weren't understanding how bad the New York Jets were. There was only 3 games on in the 4 o'clock window yesterday. There was Dallas and Philly. Everyone knew how that one was going to go. No one really cared about the Tennessee Chargers game. Tennessee is done. The one everyone had their eyes on was Arizona, who's a team who's blossoming, and the Jets' last stand. That's what everyone had their eyes on. And the entire league saw a Jets team just give up and wilt. They wilted on that. I've never seen that before. Just a team give up. The Cardinals scored on their first 5 drives with ease. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. That's the word. It was embarrassing. And they only have themselves to blame. Woody Johnson hired the GM. He fired the coach without having a true replacement. I'll just throw the defensive coordinator in there. He has no idea what he's doing. So this offseason, if I'm Woody Johnson, you sit down. If you're not the ambassador of the UK again for Trump, sit down and think, you know what? Maybe I should get someone to hire the GM and the coach for me. Or ask around. Because clearly I'm swinging and missing like there's no tomorrow. Absolute disaster. That's my last time we'll be talking about the New York Jets for the rest of the year. Sure, they can win 2 games in a row, 3 games in a row, they're done. Once they play a competent team, they're going to play Buffalo and get dismantled. They quit on national TV. Just quit. And it was embarrassing. Word of the day, embarrassing. We're getting to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Brian Kelly and LSU, because that is a sticky, sticky situation down in Baton Rouge. All that money, no results. We're going to get into it next on the Tommy John Show, back after these quick words from our sponsors.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Drew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
It's a miserable Friday night. I'm so lonely, and nobody will give me a ride to the Grateful Dead concert. Oh, rats.
Don't fret. There's always Brave New Jams, your source for the best in improvisational rock and roll. That's Brave New Jams, Saturday, 10 p.m. till midnight, on CJLO, 1690 a.m., CJLO.com.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So if you did not watch the college football games over the weekend, there were some really, really good ones we briefly mentioned at the top of the show. We talked about Miami losing. We talked about Georgia losing to Ole Miss. Talked about Colorado. Just want to briefly say Florida State's 1-8 now, or 1-9. Very happy about that. Like we said, I think following their loss to, was it Memphis? May have been Boston College. One of those losses. I grilled Norvell and I grilled Florida State. And I said, if they win more than 2 games this year, I'd be surprised. They are 1-9 now. And I just hope they go 1-11. I am so mad Cal lost that game. Because if Florida State went 0-12, I would have loved it. But they ruined everything. They got Charleston, Southern, and Florida. So I think I said they'd go 2-10, which they will. They'll lose to Florida. Charleston, Southern, I mean, if they lose that game, my goodness. I think it was after Memphis. They were 0-4. Or 0-3, sorry. And I'm like, they're done. They quit. And it was just damn Cal. Stupid Cal. Florida State stink. Notre Dame really took 52-3. Are you kidding me? They just have no sign of life. None. But enough about Florida State. They don't deserve our time here with the last 5 minutes. We have to talk about LSU and Brian Kelly, because that is a sticky situation. They brought in Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, gave him a fortune, an absolute fortune, to be the next head coach. And at the time, people are like, oh, good for them. They went out and got a good college football coach in Brian Kelly. They went in for swing. But as a Notre Dame fan, I was sitting at my house 2-3 years ago when I heard Brian Kelly got it hired at LSU. Leave, not even hired. Just went up for Notre Dame, said, yeah, I'll go take LSU's money, and left for LSU. I was a bit shocked, then a bit happy. Because I always felt at Notre Dame, With Brian Kelly as our head coach, there was always a ceiling. There was a ceiling of 10 wins. If we have a weak schedule, we'll maybe get into a playoff. They'll try and jam us into a playoff because we have a big fan base. That's the only reason we're there. And we'll go play a Clemson. We'll go play in Alabama. And we'll get our doors blown off. That was it. That was every year with Brian Kelly. If we played a Florida State on the road, yeah, maybe we'll win one. We'll beat Clemson at home, but it was nothing more than that. And I'm not saying Marcus Freeman's a much better head coach, but at least Notre Dame's winning some more of these big games. At Texas A&M, week one, there's no chance in hell a Brian Kelly team wins that game. And if you don't believe me, look at him now at LSU. Has an embarrassment of riches at LSU. They lose to USC, Texas A&M, and then their season on the line against the worst Alabama team in some time, they get their doors blown off. What, 42-13? 42-13. My goodness. And I think people at LSU are slowly starting to realize who Brian Kelly is. Brian Kelly is a good college football coach. He is not a great one. That's it. And they look surprised. And they want to compete with Georgia, with Ohio State, with Alabama, and Tennessee. They want to compete with all these schools. We're LSU. We won a national championship with Ed Orgeron. Okay. And I'm not saying Ed Orgeron's a good coach, but he just had the greatest team ever assembled because all those kids lived in Louisiana. They get Joe Burrow, a once-in-generation quarterback who transferred. All right. They hit the lottery. But since then, LSU have been a disaster. Let's call it like it is. They've been a disaster. They lose the opening game of the year every year. They lost to Florida State the last 2 years, right? And then lost to USC this year. So every time in the Brian Kelly era, they're starting behind the eight ball. They're already 0-1. Then they'll have their nice stretch when they play Georgia Southern or Texas A&I or Louisiana Monroe. They'll light it up against those teams. But when they face a team with a pulse like Texas A&M, like Alabama, they lose. And everyone last year was freaking out, Brian Kelly's doing a great job. Look at that roster he had. He had the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels, who looks pretty good in the NFL. Brian Thomas, who's looking very good in the NFL, first-round pick. Malik Nabers. Just look, that team was loaded. And they went, 9-3? And this year, the best he can do is 9-3. They gave him, $95 million to coach this team? That is a joke. I could coach a team better than this, and I'll be a lot cheaper than $95 million for 10 years. He just doesn't fit the LSU vibe. Never did. He's from Massachusetts. He's a Northeastern guy. Him at LSU. He's trying doing the fake accent at the opening press conference. It just seems sketchy the whole time. He's not a good coach. And when everyone tells me, oh, Tommy, how do you feel about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame? And my friends ask me, I'm like, happy. Because now we can reach our full potential. And yes, Marcus Freeman will lose to a weird MAC team once every 2 years, but we go on the road and we win big games now, which was not the case at all with Brian Kelly. At all. Alarming. He is on borrowed time, and the boosters at LSU realize, hey, maybe he's not the guy. Maybe he isn't. As soon as they hired him, I knew it was a mistake. He is not an elite college football coach. He's not DeBoer. He's not Kirby Smart. He's not any of those guys. He's not Lane Kiffin. He's none of those guys. That's just my quick thought on Brian Kelly. Not a good coach. Thank you for listening this week to Tommy John Show. We'll be back next Monday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on CJLO 6090 AM. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to y'all next week.